You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. We learned Friday, again through a presidential tweet, that Mexico and the United States have come to an agreement, and Mexico will deploy its National Guard throughout Mexico, mainly on their southern border, to stop the surge, the invasion into the United States of Guatemalans, Hondurans, and Salvadorans that have been flooding for the last 3 months, over 100,000, which means if it could continues, we'd be back to the million or more apprehended at the border. So we needed to do something about it. And remember, what Trump threatened to do was to impose a 5% tariff starting in June, starting today, and then every month after that, increase it by 5% until it reached a level of 25% in October. Now, what's interesting about this is you're using tariffs. It's, again, a situation of linkages. You're using tariffs to try to stop the illegal alien invasion of this country, in this case, by people from Central America. It's not going to stop people from Mexico coming. And keep in mind the long history of this. If you go back 33 years, the last time we had immigration reform under President Reagan, and it was bipartisan, the deal was to secure the border so we don't have this problem and give citizenship, they thought, to a million illegals. It turned out to be 2.7 million. And once that deal was struck, we would not have the problem of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, every year coming from Mexico. And the majority of were from Mexico, folks. Over 80% were. In the 80s and 90s, it was primarily single men, not children, not parents with their children, but single men. But that has changed, really, over the last year, and you really see it in the statistics for the last 3 months. It's predominantly children and parents. You still have single men, and that's why the U.S. Border Patrol, they have to segregate the males, adult males and adults, from the children. And the Democrats go on and on about separating them. Well, Obama was doing that when he was president. Now, they're no longer doing it. They only can hold them 3 weeks, 21 days. And that seems to be the point, the separation and the 3 weeks, that's emphasized a lot. And that was an agreement between the Department of Justice and the courts to do this. There needs to be a change where we can hold them for much longer, because what President Trump is saying, this deal, if you will, a rather bad deal, means catch and release. They let go people with kids, and they never come back. Most of them never come back to their court hearing because they know they'll lose it. Over 85% of these cases, when it's heard, in other words, they present their evidence, what they're trying to do is there's a loophole they're trying to get in, but it's not working, other than they're getting into the United States, is they say they're being persecuted by either gangs, the police, thugs, whoever in their country, so they're in fear of their life. life. And then what happens, especially initially, the boxes check credible fear. So I needed to do something, and Trump used tariffs to get their attention. Well, that got the attention of the Mexicans, because you better believe they didn't want the goods that they were exporting be 25% higher. Neither did the Americans, for that matter. And that's why it was interesting to see both Democrats and Republicans squirm on this. Now, I didn't think it was a good idea. I'm for linkages, but in this case, I don't think it's a good idea. What you should do, and neither Democrats or Republicans have done it for 33 years, is complete the wall. It's a roughly approximately a 2,000-mile border. We only have, you see statistics on the fence, but let me assure you, there's only right now 350 miles that have already been built. And that fence is designed to stop human beings. It's really not designed to stop them. It's designed to slow them down, to give the U.S. Border Patrol enough time to intercept them. And that means you need a road, and you need trucks or vans, and it needs to be regularly patrolled. You need cameras, surveillance cameras, helicopters, drones, boats, because over 1,200 miles of that 2,000-mile border, in other words, over 60% of the border, is between Mexico and Texas, and that's the Rio Grande River. So to secure the border, you need a security system. It's not just a fence. And then you need to maintain the fence and have regular patrols. Because what are you trying to stop? Yes, you're mainly trying to stop the illegal alien invasion of this country. But the drug cartels control this area. You have in Mexico a failed state where the drug cartels have corrupted government officials, whether they be the police, the National Guard, the mayors, the judges, the attorneys. And they have a simple proposition. Which do you want, silver or lead? Silver, you take the bribe. Lead, you take a bullet in the head. So we don't want, law-abiding American citizens do not want, this continued flood of illegal drugs and illegal aliens into the country. And Donald Trump will run on that, and he'll get reelected on that, because we have the Democratic Party wants to give citizenship, they never learn, citizenship to the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are here. The American people don't want that. Now, why would the Democratic Party betray their own voter base? And the same thing for the Republican Party. Well, the Democrats, as well as the Republicans, are losing their voter base. Now, yes, some of them are dying. We understand that. But more and more Americans have woke up to the fact that we have two political parties that's more concerned about illegal aliens than about American citizens having good-paying jobs. The American people are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore, to quote from a movie, Network. And you're going to see a tremendous backlash, provided that we have candidates that are strong advocates of stopping this invasion. And the way you first step to stop it is to have a complete barrier of 2,000 miles, not 350 of a fence that, yes, you can climb over, you can cut your way through, you can go around, you can go under. You need a complete, continuous, contiguous border barrier. Now, I know some, and some of these are Republicans. We had a Governor Perry that's now in the Department of Energy. Well, you don't need it in parts of the border. I agree with you in principle. But that has been the excuse of not completing the wall, the barrier, whatever you want to call it. So it remains to be seen. Remember, this tariff is suspended for the time being. In other words, we're waiting to see whether or not what the Mexican government does, is going to stop anything. Now, the New York Times had an article saying, well, all this was arranged months ago. They had it in the bag. Well, it took a president to make it clear to Mexico he was dead serious of imposing these tariffs to get this done. Now, what I'm saying, the deal was that the Mexicans would use their National Guard and other means to stop the inflow from what they call the Northern Triangle of those three countries. It's countries bordering on the south of Mexico. And yes, the majority of people now are coming from those countries. We're still getting Mexicans, folks, and we're still getting people from around the world. But what we're doing is overwhelming the U.S. Border Patrol and Homeland Security, because what's the U.S. Border Patrol doing besides processing these people? They're glorified babysitters. The more and more people that need to be in these detention centers because they're overflowing, you have fewer and fewer patrols. And that means more and more drugs and more people that are not seeking asylum status getting into the country. And let me review very, very briefly. People have gone down to the border, especially politicians, but people involved in this, asking the U.S. Border Patrol, for every one that you apprehend, how many get away? In other words, how many don't you catch? And they have said a minimum, folks, not an average, not a maximum, a minimum of 2 to 3 we don't catch. So in other words, they either die in the desert because it's going to get real hot soon, or they make it to sanctuary cities, and that's where a lot of them go, or sanctuary counties like in Dallas, or sanctuary states like California. Their main reason for coming is jobs. So the immigration is first and foremost a job issue. And a little bit later, I will be getting on the June jobs report for May. Wasn't that stellar. Matter of fact, it's one of the poorest one in about 10 years. But see, I don't get very excited about this for the simple reason I'm more interested in trends, and you should be. And it's just a sample, folks. All this is an estimate. It is a sample. No one's out there counting anybody. They phone or go to a person's house, ask certain questions, and then, you know, either you're employed, part-time or full-time, or you're unemployed and looking for work, or you're not in the labor force. You're unemployed and didn't look for a job. And I must say why I'm on it, because I keep hearing this, and I'm very suspicious of it. We can't find workers. We can't find workers. Woe is me. I can't find workers. That's just an excuse to say, well, we need all these illegals to come here. No, it's what's happened is when you have between 30 to 60 million illegals, you get addicted to cheap, compliant labor. That's what's going on here. There are plenty of Americans that would work if you paid them. I don't like the living wage nonsense. But where you become accustomed for 33 years with a continuous flow of cheap, compliant labor, primarily from Mexico and Central America, you think that's the way it should be? No. If you're ever an employer, you know if you pay more than your competition, you should be able to attract better people and more people. It's a simple case of supply and demand. But they've gotten used to an increase in supply largely from illegals, especially entry-level jobs that really do not require much education. And remember, most of these people, Mexico has been trying to get rid of its Indian population. And a lot of the people coming are Indians. And they're semi-illiterate. They have very little education. So they're doing manual-type labor. So I'll get on the jobs report in a minute. So I think what happened is this, that a lot of Republicans and some Democrats really got on Trump's case because they were getting phone calls from their major contributors saying, we can't put up with this. We have supply chains in effect, and you're messing with our supply system. That is a very valid point. That's why I would not use imports in this area. That doesn't mean you shouldn't negotiate or renegotiate trade agreements, and that's exactly what President Trump did with both Mexico and Canada. And until we see the details, the glorious details, we'll see whether or not he did improve the situation. I think he probably did on the margin. But see, I don't think this is a step in the right direction. I want to be fair here. But who benefits primarily from the continuous influx of both illegal aliens and illegal drugs into the United States? It's the drug cartels. The drug cartels don't want this to stop. So why Mexico, the Mexican government, and you'll see video clips of their National Guard, especially on the border, but throughout Mexico, whether or not that's going to do anything, I think, remains to be seen. And President Trump underlined the fact that this import duty was suspended. At any time, he could and would go back to it if he doesn't see the progress being made. So for new listeners, I encourage you to go to my companion blog for the show, and that's prompops.wordpress.com. And under my photograph of myself in the studio, you will see the most recent shows. And this will be posted later in the day. And I have a lot of information. Cartoons. Because I'm going to be talking about Santa Claus socialism. There's a poll that says American women like socialism. I find that hard to believe. Because the one thing you have with a competitive, free enterprise, market capitalist system is choice. A wide choice of goods and services that you'll never get in a socialist or communist state. And please don't say that Sweden, Denmark, and Norway are democratic socialist states. No, they are just like the United States. It's a mixed economy. It's primarily a welfare state, and they have a lot of government-provided services and money they give. But they also have very, very high taxes, and they've been grappling with this for decades. They don't have socialists. Socialism means the government owns and controls all the means of production. In other words, all the factories, all the retail stores, everything is government run. And guess what? They tell you where you have to work. How do you like those apples? I don't think you do. The American people have not chosen socialism. It doesn't mean that you're always going to have what I call the ignorant. And many of those ignorant people are also stupid. They don't know what socialism is. They have no idea. It requires force to maintain it. Coercion, force. It's the government telling you what you can buy and what you can't buy. And when you don't have the goods in the stores, it's not based on competition. It's based on a government monopoly, requires coercion. That invariably leads to a authoritarian and totalitarian regime. Americans won't put up for that for any length of time. What they're trying to do is steal money, your hard-earned money and wealth, to give it to their friends that voted for them. I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. And we have people that are ignorant and stupid that fall for Santa Claus socialism. Oh, we'll pay for your education. It will be free. We'll pay for your health care. It will be free. And what happens to what you get? The quality goes down and the availability ultimately goes down. You know, K through 12 education has, let us say, decline in its quality. And we're seeing the same thing on colleges and universities. And when we have these, every 2 years, you have these international studies comparing various nations, the United States is not 1, 2, 3, or even in the top 10. I'm talking sciences, reading, math. We're in the top 24, but that's about it. You see, it's stealing wealth, stealing the incentive to start a business. You see, a competitive free enterprise market capitalist system is voluntary. No one is forcing you to buy anything. And its businesses, and the ones that are successful, provide products that the people either need or want, primarily want. And to the extent that they're very good at it, they succeed. To the extent they do a poor job, they fail, lose money, and go out of business. That's not the situation in a socialist economy where it's take it or leave it, even if it's a piece of junk. The American people, at least the ones that understand this, are not for socialism. Socialism is a bad idea that's failed in every country that has been tried. It's a disaster. And the majority of the American people do not support it, no matter what this poll says. Because the problem with polls is how the questions are asked. In many respects, you can get the opposite result by the way you word the question. And yes, eventually they do run out of money. And that happened in Cuba. It happened in Venezuela, Cambodia with Pol Pot. Oh, yeah, they killed killed many of their own people. Like I said, they inevitably turn violent and turn the violence on their own people. It's not something you should be for. It's something that you should oppose with every muscle in your body and every brain cell in your body. There's an interesting poster that says, "So you're into socialism now, huh? It only killed 100 million people in the 20th century. Will you please tell me why we should give it another try?" The answer is, we're not going to give it another try. And that means we're going to defeat the radical extremist Democrats. I call them the Reds, radical extremist Democrats that have turned the Democratic Party into a socialist party. Now, some will say they're liberal, some say they're progressive, some say they're socialist, there are even a few that say they're communists. They're all lefties that do not believe in competition, do not believe in free enterprise, frankly, do not believe in choice. They want to tell you what you have to buy. They think they're smarter than you. The American people will say, please leave us alone, and hell no, we're not going to buy into your stupid ideas. And that's the new Green Revolution. Note, they're trying to coerce you, tell you what you have to do. That's at the heart of it. They're little mini dictators. They think they have a monopoly on wisdom and intelligence. Well, first of all, being bright doesn't mean you're wise. As a matter of fact, some of the stupidest, unwise people are very bright and very articulate, but they're not very wise, and they don't learn from history. So yes, there are more people now, if you believe this poll, I don't, by the way, favor socialism, not when it's explained to them. That's the key point, and that's the challenge. We have what I call big lie media, the television networks, the large city papers, all trying to manipulate the ideas to make these ideas receptive to you by putting out polls indicating that women like socialism. I don't think so. Women like to shop. And when they go to a socialist state or a communist state, you quickly find either there are no goods there, and that was the case with the Soviet Union and now in Venezuela, or the prices have gone sky high, or the quality has gone down. What you want is a competitive, and I underline that word competitive, free enterprise, where free means any individual is free to establish an enterprise, and then he's going to have to compete with others trying to supply goods and service in the market. And it's up to the consumers, the people that are successful. Take Apple, for example. And I'm not an Apple fan, but I'll take it as an example. It produces their phone, iPhone. And people that have money, not for the poor, cost several hundred dollars, buy the iPhone. Now, they have competition. I don't have an iPhone. I don't need an iPhone. But there are people that want the services, the benefits, if you will, of that iPhone. So they have to compete on price, reliability, what they call in the software industry features, including applications that you can put on it. It's a product with various dimensions, price being one, quality being one, design being one, and the various benefits or applications that you have. And to the extent that they judge the market correctly and provide the product and the people buy the product, they're successful. To the extent other companies do a better job, they will be successful. You always have to worry about the competition. That's not the situation in socialism. You have a monopoly. The government owns and controls and runs everything. In other words, you have very little accountability. You know, there's a cartoon, and this is the problem in a nutshell. It says, socialism, sign up here. And you have two choices. You can, and the longest line is no work, free stuff. You always have what I call the moochers, the lazy, people on welfare. Not all of them, because some people legitimately on it. No work, free stuff. And that's what the Democratic Party has become. Vote for me, I'll give you free stuff. I'll give you a free college education. That's that's how they're trying to appeal to the young, because the young today are burdened by debt, and they are. Unfortunately, they're getting what I would call a inferior college education. It's been ruined in the United States. They've ruined K through 12, and now they're going through the universities. And I can have a whole show on that. You always get what you pay for. But what they're doing is burdening the young with a lot of debt that's going to take them 10, 15, maybe even as much as 20 years to pay off. So that's the free stuff line. But what has to happen to pay for that free stuff? Higher and higher taxes. And that is the situation in the Scandinavian countries. The tax burden, and Canada, you don't have to go very far. Just go to Canada, and the tax burden is much, much higher. There is no such thing as free stuff. You have to pay for it. The other line, there's no people on it. Work hard and keep half. That, unfortunately, is true in most states. If you add up all the taxes you have to pay today, it is over 50%. Why is it over 50%? Because the government has to pay for all these free stuff things. And if they get their way, and I hope they don't get their way, it won't be 50%. The government will keep 2/3 of what you earn. You see, the answer is to cut government spending, cut government programs, cut regulation, cut taxes, and let the people decide how they want to spend their money. In other words, the overwhelming majority of American people shouldn't be taxed at all if we had limited government. No, what we have today is massive government. What we have today is a warfare and welfare state. And we see that in the soon-to-be $23 trillion national debt and the fact that unfunded obligations to pay for many of these programs and the pensions are 10 times that, over $220 trillion. There's no way we'll pay that. We're largely become a nation that not only are taxes high, they're not adequate to pay for this welfare state. It would be a lot worse under socialism. So we need to establish a new political party to challenge both the Democrats and Republicans. So socialism is getting some attention. And you have the top, you have more than 24 Democrat candidates. That will quickly shake down to probably 4 or 5. And they're all playing the same game. Vote for me and I give you some free stuff. Will it work? Well, there's a reason they keep coming back to it. It works if you tell them how much it, well, first of all, it works. If you don't tell them, it's not free. So you need candidates to point out, wait a minute. And quite frankly, it doesn't make sense to have everybody go to college. As far as I'm concerned, maybe, I'm being generous here, 1 out of 3 people that go to college are benefiting. Most of the people don't want to be there, even if they're qualified to do the work. And you have roughly another third that frankly can't do the work. They're not college material. They have not applied themselves in high school, and many of them don't have an IQ to really do college-level work. And then when you combine that with the cost of it, it doesn't make sense for about 2/3 of the people that are going to college to stick it out. And they don't stick it out. On most and junior colleges, a community college, is less than 25% actually complete the degree. And I would say you're wasting your money. It gets back to this. If you really want to learn something, buy the books and read them and study them. Now, if you want a piece of paper that says you spent 2 years at a certain institution and then you want to go into debt for it, there's a sucker born every minute. If you really want an education, go to a store like Half Price Books, buy the books at discount and read them and study them. And if you apply yourself in 2 years, you'll know more, a lot more, than what they're learning in community colleges. Most of the community colleges today give multiple choice tests, and that's a mistake, because you need to know how to read and write and speak. And the way you become proficient, for example, in terms of speaking, is to read a lot and write a lot. It's not whether it's A, B, C, or D. It's writing a coherent essay. And that, unfortunately, is a challenge for over half the people that are in college today. And I'm including the best institutions in the United States. And it's been this way for over 50 years. This is not new. It's getting worse. Now, I'm going to spend a few minutes on the unemployment report. There are only 75,000 jobs created, non-farm payroll jobs created in May. There was no change in the unemployment rate, U3, the headline rate stayed at 3.6, which is good, folks. It could be a lot better, in my mind, if you have the right economic policies. And to a certain extent, we do. We do. Trump has dramatically decreased regulations as well as reduced corporate taxes, but he didn't go far enough. And what he didn't really address, and that's the big problem, and that's why he's going to be hard-pressed to get the unemployment rate below 3%. You need economic growth rates of 4, 5, 6%, and that requires certain economic policies. And I don't mean more government spending. I mean, the Achilles heel is they have not cut government spending. In any point of time, there are just so many resources, physical resources, economic resources. And the government is taking at all levels more and more of those resources, which means there are less and less for the private sector where the wealth is truly created. It's not created by the government. Largely what the government does is transfer resources or payments from one group to another. And that's why the Democratic Party focuses on groups. Vote for me and I'll give you free stuff. For example, college education. Or we'll wipe out the debt if you work for the government. No, what we have to do is put all governments, starting with the federal government, on a diet. They're obese. And you see that many times looking at the people that want to increase your taxes and want to increase government spending. They really don't learn. That's the problem. And one of the reasons is they've been indoctrinated. Much of education today is indoctrination. I call colleges babysitting and indoctrination centers. Be sick. Be sick. Babysitting indoctrination centers. Eventually, they either drop out, and that's unfortunately the majority of the people, or they do graduate and find that, guess what? There are very few, if any, multiple choice questions. You're going to have to produce results. You're going to have to work hard. And then if you're lucky, you might keep half your pay. And that's what's not sitting right with the American people. But if you keep voting Democrat and Republican, you're going to get the same result. So this should be a wake-up call for the Trump administration. But it's going to be hard-pressed to do anything because the Democratic Party controls the House. They need to do two basic things. They need to fundamentally reform the tax system, and they need to drastically cut federal spending. Now, people ask me, well, how much? I say, you got to cut it in half. They look at me, well, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. Why do you think we have to borrow this year over $900 billion. And it's going back to a trillion, which is $1,000 billion. Spending is out of control. What are the major categories of spending? Mainly mandatory spending is out of control. Entitlement programs and welfare programs, or what they call income security programs. Add those together, it's over 60% of the spending. Add the national defense, you're adding back another 19%. Now, I'm for a strong defense, but I keep asking, well, who is challenging us? Because we spend approximately, in terms of the world expenditures on war or defense, armaments, close to 50%. You'd have to add the expenditures for over a dozen countries to get close to what the United States spends on defense. Now, I'm not against having a strong national defense, but who's our competition? Mainly China. But remember, China has a population four times. Ours is our population in the United States today is roughly, approximately 330 million people. They have over a billion people. I think it's about 1.3 billion or 1.4 billion. And it's primarily what they're doing that's getting the United States nervous and other countries in the area nervous. There's two areas. One, they're trying to dominate every industry. Now, I don't think they're going to succeed for this reason. You want competition. You want freedom. And they have the same problem to a lesser extent than we do in terms of education. They're indoctrinating their people. And you have a limited amount of freedom. And it's a single party. They don't allow dissent. They suppress dissent. And that is their Achilles heel. They have a lot of people. It's somewhat homogenous. Remember, the United States, unlike, for example, and this is the ones they always do. They say, I'm a democratic socialist. I want democratic socialism like in Denmark, Norway, or Sweden. Well, they don't have that type of democratic socialism. What they do is have a mixed economy. It's a capitalist system where, yes, a lot of the goods, services are provided by the government, but the government does not control and run industry. And that's sort of what you have in China. But they favor, yes, government run firms. So yes, we have to watch what the Chinese are doing, because they want to dominate areas that we lead in. But how do they get there? Primarily by stealing our technology, our intellectual property. And that will not keep them in first place. The challenge for the United States is to downsize the size of the government. You see, that's the real challenge in China and the United States. We have too much government. The American people want to be left alone. They want to keep not all, but a lot of their hard-earned income. And they don't want the government to tell them what they have to buy. So what do I see happening and what's disturbing? Well, the most disturbing thing, and I've gone over this almost every month when I go over the jobs report, there are a couple of statistics I look at, but the one that's key that really should be discussed, and it seldom is, it's mentioned but not really put in any context, is the labor participation rate. How many people are, if they're unemployed, looking for a job? You see, in the Clinton years and the early Bush years, routinely the number in terms of labor participation, both, and this is both men and women, and you can't get information on broken out, but the overall labor participation rate, really since Obama took office, went down, down, and down. It went from roughly being the 66 to 67% range, and that's where it was under Bush and Clinton. It went down first to 65, then 64, 63, and now it's at 62.8, and it really hasn't moved. It bounces around 63%. If we really had a booming, growing economy at 4 or 5%, what you would expect over a 2 to 3 year period is that labor participation rate should go right back up to between 66 and 67%, and it has not done so. Part of that reason is the continuous inflow into this country of illegal aliens. They are taking many of the entry-level jobs, the manual labor jobs. And that's why for many years the household income was either declining or flat. Now it's starting to go back up, which is good. What you want is rising household income, which means people are getting paid more and can spend more, but you want more of the people that became unemployed back in the labor force. And we have anywhere, you're going to get an estimate, somewhere between 20 and 30 million people that would come back into the labor force permanently, full-time, provided it's a good-paying job. I get back to it has to be a good-paying job, because many of these people, the reason why they have not come back, oh yeah, they were making good money and had a good job, and then many of them were laid off. So they've been living off their savings, their investment. Many of them have had part-time jobs. We have plenty of people, folks. We don't need illegal aliens to fill the jobs. We do need employers that will stop employing these people, and they won't until the government enforces immigration law. And that's the big problem. It's enforcement of the law, and that's what the American people have been asking. They don't want to give citizenship to the illegal aliens. You see, the American people support legal immigration. What they don't support is making it easy for people from Mexico, Central America, and many other countries coming into the United States, not only across the U.S.-Mexican border, but also flying in on visas legally, either for business purposes, to get an education, for tourists, and they stay here. Now, many of them go home, but many more stay here. They like it here, and they're living and they're working here illegally. And if the immigration laws were truly enforced, they would be going home. And Donald Trump, when he was running, not only did he say he was going to build a big, beautiful wall, he also said they all had to go home, every single one of them. They want to come back, they can get in line, and provided they don't have a criminal record, eventually they might immigrate to the United States. He hasn't done much in that area. You see, the American people are demanding not only that the invasion be stopped, but the invasion be rolled back. We just recently commemorated D-Day. Had the Germans won the war, they would have rolled back the invasion. Now, they didn't, thank God. But that's what needs to be done. And the American people are demanding it by huge majorities. If you ask me why Donald Trump is president today, because he was had the strongest position and policy as to what he was going to do to stop and roll back the illegal invasion. Unfortunately, he has not rolled it back. Because if you look at the apprehension statistics, this has been going on for 33 years. And for many of those years, it was averaging a million people a year. Sometimes a lot more, sometimes a lot less, but on average about a million. Multiply by that by three, you're talking 3 million people a year. Usually one of those three go back, but two stay here and stay here permanently. So you're at least talking a minimum of 2 million a year, maybe as high as 3 million. And when you're talking 33 years, that's a lot of illegal aliens that are still here. And many have been here for many years. And as far as I'm concerned, they should be the first to be sent back because they have been taking jobs away from American citizens. And have also, if they're not taking the job away, they are the cause of either declining household income or flat household income. That's why the American people, by wide margins, there are many polls on this, 2/3, 3/4, high as 80% want the illegals that are here sent back. So that's why they favor building a complete 2,000-mile border barrier to stop people entering the United States, but together with that, removing and deporting all the illegals that are here. And that's anywhere from 30 to 60 million. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to take at least 10 years. It took over 33 years to get in this situation. It's not going to be solved overnight, but I'm not seeing that effort. I'm not saying they're not deporting people. They are, but we're not seeing numbers of 2 to 3 million a year. It would take, at a rate of 2 million a year, probably 30 years. And let's assume we truly stop the invasion. Yet we have Democrats primarily, but also Republicans, some. The Democrats want to give citizenship to all the illegals that are here. Why? They want to be a single party to be able to dictate to you and me how much money they can take from you and what you can buy. They're primarily socialist, and they're importing a new voter base that's sympathetic to socialism, a dictatorship. That's what we're talking about, a totalitarian dictatorship. Forget the label for a minute, whether you want to call it progressive, socialist, communist. If it ends in tyranny, if it ends with a monopoly by the government and using coercion to force you to buy and do certain things, that's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's tyranny. And that's the problem with socialist governments. They do fail and people rebel. Now, the Democrats think they're going to win in 2020. Well, we'll wait and see. I don't think so. Because Trump, what he needs to do is build as many miles of that border barrier as he can. Now, he said by the end of 2020, there'll be approximately 500 miles of new border barrier. That would mean more than twice the 350 miles of human fence designed to stop humans. We also have, because sometimes you'll hear this statistic, well, we have over 600 miles, or close to 650 miles of fence, but about 300 miles of that fence is vehicle barrier. And it's not continuous. So what happens is people can climb over, under, or go around vehicle barriers. Now, they do stop vehicles, but when you have a 2,000-mile border and only 300 miles have vehicle barriers, it's not effective. I only count human barriers designed to stop humans. But I don't want to get hung up on how many miles. It is important. In my mind, you need 1,500 miles of new border barrier. Add that to the 350 we already have, and you're very close to 2,000 miles. And yes, there is 1 to 200 miles of territory, land, it's in the boondocks. It's nowhere near roads or cities. And it's rough terrain, like cliffs 1,000 feet up on either side of a river, like in Texas. So yes, there are some places that I will concede you don't need a fence or border barrier, but they're few and far between. We need really 1,850 miles of a more or less continuous human border barrier. And next to it, we need a road. And on that road, we need vehicles. And I mean a good road. And frankly, I would make it two lanes. I think the best solution is you need two fences with a road in between, well-patrolled, having sensors on the fence, having surveillance cameras. We have them. For example, I know if I go to the parking lot, either parking lot on this campus, we have these very, very tall light poles. They're mainly there for lighting because it's a very big parking lot. We also have surveillance cameras on them. And there's over 200, probably now 300 surveillance cameras on a college campus for security reasons. It also saves money because you still need, though, if something is happening or someone's breaking in trying to get in the country, you need someone to respond. You need the Border Patrol, the U.S. Border Patrol, to go out where the people are breaking in and apprehend them. That's the first step. We need to make it very difficult, not easy, for both illegal aliens and illegal drugs getting into the country. And we've had two political parties that for 33 years have not completed the fence, the border barrier. And that's why we're facing this problem today. And now the Democratic Party is betting that they will get the vast majority of the illegals. They want to give citizenship. So if once they get control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they will give citizenship to the illegal aliens that are here. And once that happens, you can kiss the United States of America goodbye for the simple reason you'll have single-party rule like you have in communist China and in the Soviet Union. The American people oppose this. You have a small minority of radical extremists, Democrats, Reds, that are promoting the socialist agenda, and they want ultimately to have a single party to control you and me. They'll tell you what's good for you, what you must buy. The American people are perfectly capable of spending their money on what they want to buy, not what a small elite of progressive socialist communists want to tell you you must have. I'm looking at the time. I have a little more time. The gentleman that's behind me apparently is not coming in today, so I'll spend more time. What do we need to do? And can we do it with Democrats or Republicans? My answer, my conclusion, and it's not a recent conclusion. I gave up on the Republican Party in 2006. They control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they were big spenders. They're doing exactly what the Democrats do, and they're running up huge deficits. So the answer is not to continue to vote Democrat and Republican. If you think that's the answer, you're going to be very disappointed. You need a small group, a couple of million people. Now, some will say that's not a small group. Well, if the population of the United States is approximately 330 million, I would say about 3 to 6 million people could turn this country around. But that means establishing a new political party. In addition, as part of establishing that party, you obviously have to set forth your principles. Now, I'm for a limited government under a representative republic, in other words, under the United States Constitution. I take the United States Constitution seriously. It was a very good idea, and it's still a very good idea. The problem is it's been ignored. And as a result of being ignored, that's why we have the financial or fiscal position. That's why we're in such sad shape. That's why we have a national debt approaching $23 trillion and unfunded liabilities, obligations, 10 times that. We're spending money that the founding fathers would never approve of spending. And that's largely because we've had, and they've changed their name, and we've had them in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, progressives. They're collectivists. They believe the collective or group is more important than the individual. And that's what they believe. I don't. I believe in individualism and to try to maximize the freedoms and liberties of the American citizens. And what's limiting the American people today is government at all levels is virtually out of control. Now, I'm not saying if we had a balanced budget that that's the ideal. Far from it. We need to be shutting down departments, at least 8. I can make a case for 10. But that's not where the money's at. That's a first step. We need a government for the 21st century, and that government should be small. It should be limited. So we need to permanently close 8 departments. Hopefully I'll get through the 8. Agriculture, commerce, labor, education, energy, interior, transportation, housing, and 1 or 2 more. We definitely need to keep the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, the Department of State, Department of Treasury, for sure. Is anyone in either party proposing this? No. Because both are big government parties. You know, once a department is established, it's almost impossible to close it down. That is just the first step. Now, why should it be a first step? Because I already said that's so-called discretionary spending, and that's less than 20% of the budget, folks. That's not where the big money is at. I'm excluding defense from that. And defense is bloated too, folks. We have remember, Obama did cut, so did Clinton, the defense. And we need a strong defense, but we don't need an imperial army. We don't need bases all over the world. And that's what we have. And that cost a lot of money. So I'm not saying there's not money that needs to be cut from the Defense Department budget. Yes, you need to downsize the Department of Defense. You want the well-trained, the key is a very well-trained armed forces. Practice, practice, practice. And they need to have state-of-the-art weapons. They need weapons that could match, if not exceed, any that they would encounter. And yes, weapons get old, including nuclear weapons. There's no free lunch here. You're going to have to spend resources. The argument is, what's the makeup, what the military calls the force structure? And that's not only people, but also what type of armaments. Now, I'm not going to go into much more detail than that, but I want to make clear why I'm for a strong defense. What I'm not for is having an armed forces that will intervene in country after country after country. I'm for non-interventionist foreign policy. The Cold War is over. It's not that we don't have enemies. We do have enemies. But when you're spending nearly half of what the entire world spends on the military, that's too much. Way too much. So if you change the foreign policy to one of non-intervention, in other words, we're not nation building, we're not the policemen of the world. There's always going to be civil wars, there's always going to be rebellions, and you can always make a case of intervening in country after country, and that's what we've done. And a lot of that debt is a result of intervening. And at the time, they can always make the case, whether it's Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan. Now, let me make clear, if we're attacked, I believe in total victory. I mean in crushing, totally crushing the people that attack us. No mercy. How many times have we been attacked? Not many. Not many. I'm not saying none, but not many. We don't mind our business. That's our problem. And that's the problem with both the Democrat and the Republican parties. They intervene in the economy, and they intervene abroad. And that's why am I surprised that the Democratic Party, as well as the Republican Party, has moved further and further to the left? No, absolutely not. I'm not surprised, but I've given up expecting the Republican Party that's going to stop them. They have problems articulating a position. They want to get along to go along with big lie media. Well, I don't want to get along to go along with big lie media. And that's a point I want to emphasize. Yeah, you need a new political party, but you need to communicate with all the American citizens. And you're not going to be able to do it through big lie media, your major television networks, and to the extent they're still there, newspapers. You're going to need your own communication channel, vehicle, to set forth what are the principles of this new party. And I've already said it's limited government. How limited? You need to cut it in half. And that's just for starters. And you can start with the departments we don't need, but the challenge will be to totally reform, and in many cases, especially in the welfare area, do away with those programs or have stringent limitations, 1 year and out. The only exception, frankly, is those that are truly needy, disabled, that can't work, that must rely on support, if not from a family or their local community, from the government. And that's a small percentage. We have too many people that are perfectly capable of working that went on disability during the recession, and now some of them are working again. Now, why? Because they want more money. You want to have strong incentives to work. That's why you need a new tax system. It's not just cutting spending. You need to fundamentally reform a tax system, and don't base it on income. Base it on consumption. You need a broad-based consumption tax. Now, I'm very lightly, very briefly going over some of the things that need to be done. Is the Democratic Party proposing this? No, just the opposite. They want more and more government, more and more illegals coming into the country. They want a single-party system. They want socialism. And socialism is fundamentally based on coercion, force. It's not competitive. It's government monopoly. And you have a small group of people, bureaucrats, whatever you want to call them, that will decide what goods will be produced, how many, where will people work. They're for wage and price control. That's what they're about. The threat to the freedom of the American people is coming
coming from their own politicians, elected representatives, but also from the bureaucrats that support them. What I'm saying, you should shut down at least 8 to 10 departments and cut back entitlement programs and welfare programs. Neither the Democrat or Republican Party is up to it. Trump's not up to it. I will challenge Trump to balance a budget by the end of 8 years, assuming he gets reelected. He won't be able to do it. Because why? Always look at, and I've done this, and I'll point this out. If you go to Conservative Review, go Google Conservative Review scorecard, and the first thing you should do is look up your representative and senator and see what their score is. Now, remember, the publication is Conservative Review. So if you're a good conservative for limited government, you should have a letter grade of an A and a score between 90 and 100, ideally. You'll find that if you take the A's and B's and go down as low as 75 in terms of score, oh, there are Republicans that have A's and B's and call them gentlemen C's of 75% or more, but they are not a majority. They are a small minority. If you count senators and representatives, you'll be lucky to get to 100. And that, in a nutshell, is the problem. We have two big government parties, because if you look at the Republicans, oh yeah, they control the Senate, and they have many, many members in the House. But if you look at their ratings, most of them are F's and D's. They're closer to big government Democrats, who virtually all are either F's or D's, mostly F's, and many of them have single-digit scores. The Republican, especially the leadership, is closer to them than they are to conservative, limited government, classical liberals, libertarian Republicans. That's why I've given up on the Republican Party, because the majority of those people are not for limited government. Never have been and never will be. I knew that. My mistake was year in, year out, getting in the bad habit of voting for them. Now, I try to pick those, especially where there's competition in the primaries, the best candidate. But the biggest challenge that voters have today, especially if you believe in limited government, believe in the Constitution, do not want an empire, want a representative republic, you'd be lucky if you can vote for anyone, and especially if you live in the East or West Coast. I live in Texas. We do have so-called conservative senators, but I only really consider one of them. That's Cruz. I don't know what Cronin's score is, but he is probably a D. My educated guess, a D. A D's don't cut it. F's and D's don't cut it. Even C's don't cut it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you keep voting Democrat or Republican, you're going to get the status quo, and fundamentally nothing is going to change. Oh, it will change, and it will change for the worse, because socialism fails. And what's failing right now are the welfare and warfare states around the world, primarily welfare states in Europe, because they have the same problem that we do. They have politicians that say, vote for me and I'll give you free stuff. And that is a trap that people fall into. Now, eventually, they figure it out the hard way. There is no such thing as free stuff. If anything, if the government provides it, it's going to be more expensive. It's not going to be good quality. You're not going to have enough of it. It's going to be too expensive. You pay for it big time. You need accountability. You need competition. That's why much of what needs to be done in the private sector, where you don't have burdensome taxes and spending on the taking more and more resources away from the private sector. And that's exactly what has been happening really since the end of World War II. I would even say go back to 1940. We've become addicted to government spending. And most wars, let me say a word on that and I'll wrap the show up. Most wars are financed by debt. And that's why you see the spike after World War II, the debt levels. But wisely, in the late 40s and 50s, we, as rapidly as we could, pay down that debt. Now it's just the reverse. We're piling more and more and more debt. Now, I'm not against debt per se, but we're way beyond the point where it makes the sense. We're paying our bills by going into debt. It's like the government has a charge card. That does not end well. That does not end well. Empires fail, and we are an empire, and we are on the road to failure. And by failure, I mean they fall, because it's only a matter of time before you get an authoritarian / totalitarian regime. And that's more or less what the Democrats want. They want a single party situation in the United States. That's why they want to give citizenship to all the illegals that are here. here, even though the American people don't want it. You see, the American people, the American worker, have been betrayed by both political parties, primarily the Democratic Party. But the Republican Party is not much better, because if you do the digging and look at what they actually vote for, most of the leadership of the Republican Party, I would throw out. I wouldn't support any of them. First of all, they're not very articulate, and you need to be articulate. You need a message that resonates with the American people. They have trouble putting sentences together, and they're always kowtowing to the media. They want to be popular. They want to be liked. Well, you're not going to be popular and liked if you do what's necessary to save this country, and that means shutting down permanently 8 to 10 departments and drastically reforming entitlement programs and welfare or income security programs. That's what needs to be done. Is Donald Trump going to balance the budget anytime soon? No, he's not. Neither is the Republican Party, is neither the Democratic Party. They think that's old-fashioned. Well, let me tell you something. It's not old-fashioned in the private sector, because if you don't pay attention to the revenues coming in and your costs, you will pay the penalty by going bankrupt or taking over. We need accountability. We need financial responsibility, and neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party is providing it. And right now, your only hope is Donald Trump, and I didn't vote for Trump. I don't trust him. But I know why he got elected. He had a message that resonated with the American people, and that is why he'll get reelected.
But he better deliver on two promises. He better build as much of that border barrier wall, fence, whatever you want to call it, and the closer he can get to, in terms of new fence, 1,500, in terms of total fence, 1,850, don't count the vehicle barriers. I'm not against them, but the objective is to slow down humans wherever they're coming from so the U.S. Border Patrol can get them. So he has to deliver on that. You know, just building a 2,000-mile fence with no patrols is not the answer. You need a secure border, and that requires a security system that has many elements or components, the fence being important, because you need to slow them down. It's not a magic bullet, because if no one's there to apprehend them or arrest them, detain them, then they go either under, through, or over the fence, and then they're into the United States. And we already have 30 to 60 million here. So Donald Trump has to definitely build as much of that fence as he can. And he's not getting any help from the Democrats. And frankly, he's not getting much help from the Republicans. That just makes my case. And that's why the Republicans were all upset about this tariff. See, my answer to them would, gentlemen, I will not impose this tariff, but you will give me $30 billion to build and complete the border barrier. Do we understand each other?
But we don't have the votes.
See, Donald Trump is setting up the Democrats as well as many of these Republicans. I can already see the ads. Mile after mile of video, a drone or helicopter going over all the miles of fence that were built. And there better be a road next to it, and there better be a border patrol next to it. That's for starters. And then say, not one single Democrat, and unfortunately less than half of the Republicans, supported my effort to get the funding that we needed to complete this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not hard to build a fence. It isn't. And we could have built this in a year, frankly, less than a year, if we had the money. They didn't have the money because the Democratic Party is not going to give them a penny. And unfortunately, the majority of the Republican Party does oppose the border barrier. That's why I threw up my hand, said they're not financially responsible. They're not trying to stop this invasion. So the Republican Party is useless. They're inarticulate, and they're betraying you. The Democratic Party has betrayed you. The Republican Party has betrayed you. Grow up and face the music. Nothing is going to change until you stand up a new political party and challenge both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Nothing is going to change. You're going to get the status quo. And that's exactly what we have. In 33 years, they could only build 350 miles of human fence? I call that failure. I call that worse than failure. That's a scam. You being played. You being manipulated for fools. You have been betrayed by Democrats and Republicans. Don't vote for either one of them. Vote them out of office. If you see a D or an R after their name or an S for socialist, don't vote for them. But then the question comes, who do you vote for?
That's my dilemma, because I've been searching. There hasn't been anyone, to my knowledge, that's trying to start. And it takes years, folks. Not decades, but it does take years to establish and develop a political party. But there's an exception that proves that rule wrong. Look at what happened in Great Britain. The Brexit Party got 30%, over 30% of the vote, from 0 to 30%. That's what needs to happen in the United States. And unfortunately, I do not see a group of people that needs, but if you're running for political office, what do you need? You need what I call mama. You need money, you need organization, you need a message, you need momentum, and you need ambition. But you can have all the money and all the organization that you can have, but if you have the wrong message, you're not going anywhere. And the problem with both political parties is the message is wrong. And the American people have woken up to the fact that they've been betrayed. They don't trust government. They don't trust the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. They're parties of liars, schemers. They're all about power and staying in power. Are they really concerned about what you are concerned about? Not really. Now, they want to get reelected, but what are they peddling? Santa Claus socialism, vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. And let's face it, there are a lot of ignorant and stupid people that fall for it. I fell for it. You fell for it. But grow up. I believed in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny at one time, but if I grew up. There's no Easter Bunny, and there's no Santa Claus. And there's no free lunch, there's no free education, and there's no free health care. If you want something, no matter what it is, go out, try to earn, and keep as much of your money as you can, and buy it for yourself. Don't fall for these demagogues peddling socialism, progressivism, collectivism, whatever they call it, communism, liberals. What they're about is power, staying in power, and controlling you and me. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com